We are living in one of the most unique times in human history when it comes to the expansion of God's kingdom. Because of the internet, we are able to share God's stories, share God's word, pray for people, minister to people all over the world from any location that we want, whether you're on the beach or at your home. If you have a cell phone and a cell signal, you have the ability to be a minister for the gospel over the internet, and it is a legitimate ministry. So this is amazing. Amazing what God's seeing. I'm seeing videos of people getting healed through TikTok videos, TikTok Live. I'm seeing amazing messages go out from people that I never would have heard of otherwise, because unless it was because of the internet. But here is something that I want us to consider, is with this amazing opportunity and this amazing privilege, there's also amazing opportunity for failure. Now, I don't want to say this to scare anybody, but I do want us to be sober-minded as we wield this amazing tool of social media to be ministers of the gospel. So today in this episode of Directed Life, I'm going to be talking about four social media ministry misconceptions that we need to understand so that we can avoid the trap and be more effective in using these tools to expand God's kingdom. Let's go. Hey gang, welcome back to Directed Life, the official show for Kingdom Creative Entrepreneurs to help them find, fund, and fulfill their calling to flip culture upside down. I'm your host, Cap Chatfield, CEO of Reveal Media. And first, before we get into the message, I want to share this with you. Number one, I want to say thank you to everybody who has supported us, whether it was through DMs and just encouragement or subscribing to the show. Thank you for your support. It really is what keeps our team motivated to put this message out there and to really put out content that is going to equip Kingdom Creative Entrepreneurs to not just stay inside the four walls of the church, but to go out into the world, into the culture, into the marketplace, into politics, and make a difference for the kingdom of God before Jesus returns. So thank you so much for all of your support. I would love to encourage you to keep doing it. So before we even go into the rest of this message, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or another podcast platform, please consider subscribing. And at the end of this message, maybe even leave a review, a five-star review, and a good comment, just so that other people can find this content as well. If you're watching on YouTube, you know, hit the like button, leave a comment, share it with a friend. It's always helpful, always meaningful. And the last thing I'll say is this, go to capchatfield.com and enter into the email list, because you do not want to miss a single piece of content that goes out. In the world that we live in right now, we're seeing a lot of censorship across multiple platforms. And so I want to make sure that if you find this content valuable, that we can get it directly to you. The best way is for you to get onto the email list. We'll put out a weekly newsletter so that you can be encouraged right in your inbox. So thank you so much for supporting. If you're not already following along, please do those things. Now, without further ado, let's hop into this. We just did a recent episode with a guy named Chaz Smith. Some of you have already seen that episode. If you haven't, make sure you go watch that interview. Chaz Smith is an amazing kingdom-minded content creator based out in LA. He's done work with Nickelodeon. He's racked up millions of followers. Really, the Lord has brought him millions of followers across multiple platforms. TikTok, Vine when that was a thing, YouTube, and Instagram, and Facebook, all these things together. God has just given him an amazing platform. But what we had talked about on that episode was the double-edged sword of social media. He got to share a little bit of his story and how God's actually kind of taken him on this sabbatical journey where he's kind of pressing pause. At least at the time of me recording this, he's pressed pause on social media, and the Lord has really directed his focus towards another project. But that whole conversation made me think a lot about the power of social media, the power of content creation, and how the church needs to step into this arena even more than ever before, even more than in the past few years when social media really kind of blew up. I'll share a quick example. I'm just seeing some scrolling through Instagram or TikTok or YouTube shorts or whatever. What we're seeing is because everybody has a platform now, everybody has the ability to share whatever they want to from these devices, we're seeing so much false doctrine go out from the world about what's true, what's right. You're seeing people advocate for things like abortion and transgenderism. And I'm not going to go into those topics here today, but what we're seeing is the normalization of things that are outside of God's best for humanity. And we're seeing people put it on blast and propagate it from their devices. And I'm wondering, where's the church? Why are we not being bold and standing up against these things and preaching a message of hope and love and truth, the truth that really sets people free? Why are we as the church not stepping into this arena? Okay, so that's the first part of it. But then the second part of it is, I am seeing a handful of Christians step in. And I am seeing God do a lot of amazing things through these online ministries, but I'm also seeing a tremendous need for greater discernment amongst the body of Christ, because now you're getting pretty much any Christian that has a phone has the ability to build a following and kind of build a digital pulpit for themselves. That can be a problem, because the Bible also says in 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 3, that in these last days, there's going to be all sorts of teachers that are preaching demonic doctrines, and there's going to be people, Christians, who are heaping up for themselves these teachers who tickle their itching ears, who are basically preaching the things that they want them to say. And so we, as people who have these devices, we need to make sure that if we're stepping into these arenas, we are being guarded, we're being careful, we're being vigilant, and we're preaching the true gospel. We're preaching the true word of God, lest we'll go into like all the reasons why that could be chaotic and harmful. And so today I want to talk about these four specific misconceptions about social media ministry that we need to embrace. We need to basically face head on. We need to do something about if we want to be effective in this kingdom building ministry online. Okay. So here's the first misconception that I want us to talk about today. The first one is that more consumption equals better content creation. That is not true. That is not necessarily true. More consumption, more content consumption does not equal better content creation. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, as a content creator, what we can dupe ourselves into believing is that the more that we scroll, the more that we consume, the more that we're looking at how the world does things, the better that we will become at our craft. Okay. Now, I will say that there is a time, there is a place for believers to understand how is the world using these tools and how might we be able to redeem these tools. There is absolutely a place for that. And I have biblical examples of how. Number one is going to be the story of Daniel. Daniel is this exile taken from Israel and placed into this place called Babylon, this place that didn't worship God. They were a pagan nation. And it says that Daniel became excellent in Babylonian literature and language, not Hebrew, Babylonian literature and language. So basically what he was doing was he was understanding the mediums or the media at that time in that place, and he became excellent in it. However, the Bible also says that he did not compromise. He did not live a defiled life. He lived a consecrated life in this place, and that's what protected him from falling into this trap of potentially worshiping these false gods and becoming too much like the culture that he was called to redeem. So there is a place for studying how the world is doing things and understanding, but we also need to be very careful and make sure that we're not becoming like the world through our content consumption if we're binging it too much. So there's a scripture I want to read right here. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. This is what it says in the NLT version. It says, "Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, okay, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is." So what Jesus is talking about here is like your eyes are the gateway to your soul. You've probably heard that before. There's not an actual Bible verse to say that, but that's essentially what Jesus is saying right here. What you feast your eyes on is going to affect what's going on in your heart, your mind, and your soul, right? It's the lamp to the body. So when you are consuming content that isn't glorifying God, that is affecting you. That is going inside of you, and you're basically reprogramming your mind into thinking about things that don't honor God and possibly even believing things that aren't scriptural. The Bible says conversely, like if you want to transform yourself by renewing your mind. That's what it says in Romans chapter 12. That if you are feasting your eyes and your heart on the things of God, it's going to literally transform your being. You're going to renew your mind. It's going to transform the physiology of your brain. It's going to transform the way that you see the world. It's going to transform your attitude, your moods. So we need to make sure that we're consuming the right things. Content consumption, more content consumption, does not necessarily equal better content creation. Okay, so here's the application here. We talk a lot about we need to be a people who are led by the Holy Spirit. So my application points for this message are going to be very specifically about how do you engage the Holy Spirit in order to make sure that you are consuming appropriately and you're making sure you're being very cognizant of your intake because it will affect your output. I will also say this as an illustration. I do a lot of CrossFit working out. We go to a CrossFit gym as a family. And one thing that the coaches consistently tell us is that the effectiveness of your workout, the results that you're looking for, begin with the nutrition that you're putting in your body. Whatever you put in your body is going to manifest itself in how you perform in the CrossFit workout. So what you put in is what's going to come out. So what we put into our body spiritually is also going to be what comes out of us. Here's what I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit this simple question. Holy Spirit, is there anything that I'm consuming on the internet that is grieving you? The Bible tells us to not grieve the Holy Spirit. So we should simply ask and say, Holy Spirit, is there anything that I'm feasting my eyes on that is not glorifying you, that is grieving you? And if there is a moment where I'm on social media and there's something that doesn't glorify you, doesn't please you, and starts to grieve you, please put a check in my spirit, search my heart, and deliver me from those moments. Just let me scroll past it. Let me put the phone down. Let me be sensitive to your prompting. Ask the Holy Spirit that thing, and he will be faithful. The Bible says that there's no temptation that man is not experienced in life. Essentially, that's kind of paraphrasing. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So what that means is you're going to be tempted by things that are not uncommon to man. Like you're going to go through things that other people have gone through, but God is faithful and he always makes a way of escape. So you just need to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you and to give you discernment in those moments so that you can escape and make sure that you are protecting yourself and only consuming the right thing. What does that also mean? You and I need to be disciplined to consume the right thing, not just neglecting or departing from the bad thing, but we need to be feasting on the right thing. Follow accounts that are preaching godly messages. And in order to have discernment about which ones are actually preaching the true truth and not just a false version of the truth, you and I need to be self-feeders. We need to be in the Word of God every single day. We need to read this thing and we need to rightly divide it ourselves. We'll talk more about that verse in a second, okay? So that's the first point. That's the first misconception, that more content consumption does not equal better content creation, okay? Here's the second. Your identity does not equal your following. This is really tempting for content creators, kingdom content creators to fall into because you start seeing the analytics, you start seeing the insights, you start seeing how your followership goes up. And all of a sudden, now there's this temptation that creeps in that says, I have to maintain this. I don't want to squander what God provided. And so I'm going to do whatever it takes to maintain this following and to continue to increase it. And what happens is we begin falling into a scarcity mindset. We begin kind of falsely believing that we are the reason why this following came, that it wasn't God who brought this following. And we start preaching messages that are about building audiences rather than being faithful to what God wants us to say. I have fallen into this trap. Everything I'm talking about here is stuff that I've been tempted with, but I'm sharing this with you because we need to be really vigilant to make sure that we aren't out here to grow our own followings. Chad Smith said this on that previous episode that I was talking about. Jesus had this moment where he had 3,000 followers following him after he had this like massive miracle of feeding the 5,000 or whatever. And then Jesus gets a word from the Father because it says that Jesus never said anything that the Father did not say to him to say. He had this intimacy with the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit where he was able to hear God's voice and then he would say whatever the Lord put on his heart to say. And in this one moment, the Holy Spirit tells Jesus to turn around to the entire group of people and say, hey, whoever wants to follow me, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he was going to make sense of what that was going to be later at the Last Supper, when he was talking about like this communion of eating the bread in remembrance of him, of his body being broken, and drinking the wine in remembrance of his blood being spilled out for the new covenant. But he didn't explain that in this moment. He just said what the Holy Spirit, what Father God told him to say, and he said it, and thousands of people left him that day, and only the 12 original disciples stayed with him. And Jesus turned to the disciples and he's like, are you guys going to leave me too? And Peter said, where else are we going to go? We don't know where else to go besides following you. Jesus was not moved by the amount of people that were following him. He was willing to say the thing that would lose everybody, because he was so dependent on the Father and he was so willing to be obedient, even to the point of personal loss, a loss of followership, right? He didn't lose his influence, but he lost his followership. There's a huge difference between the two. This is what it says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. This is what Paul says. He says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, am I more concerned about serving people or serving you? Am I more concerned about my reputation with man or my reputation with you? Or am I more concerned about losing favor with man or losing favor with you? If we can live in this place of a fear of the Lord and saying, God, I want to please you, I don't want to please man, that is going to protect us. We have to have our identity solidified in who God says that we are. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, not by our works, but by Jesus's finished work for us on the cross. We are adopted into the family of God. We are no longer servants of God. We are friends of God. And that's what Jesus wants to instill in us, is like, hey, your identity is so much greater than your followership. So don't be posting things trying to increase your followership, because you're slipping into this idolatry of, I don't know who I am. I don't know my value apart from the followers that follow me on social media. We need to have our identity solidified in who Jesus is, who he says we are, and what he's done for us. Amen. So that's the second misconception. The third misconception is that micro content should equal micro revelation. Or what does this mean? Like, our micro content that we post, 60 second clips, 15 second clips on social media, that does not mean micro revelation. I'm seeing this kind of, it's not like a trend. It's not like people are trying to do this, but because people, it seems like their identity is solidified in how many followers they can get. They want to get picked up by the algorithm. They're doing stuff on social media that does not communicate depth of the knowledge of the Word of God. It's like they're just posting like candy, Christian candy on the internet. And it's not even milk, honestly. Like the Bible says, like, move on from milk, go on to eating solid food, meaning don't just like, you need to move on from the foundations of the gospel and start building a spiritual house with your theology and the knowledge of who God is. That's going to be how you sustain yourself and continue to actually make disciples. You got to build a spiritual house of revelation of what you know about who God is and what he's calling us to do. And I see so many Christian content creators who are creating not milk, but candy, like stuff that has no nutritional value at all. And they're kind of slapping Jesus's name on it. And they're calling themselves this Christian content creator. And this isn't to judge anybody, but like, hello, we need to have a fear of the Lord when it comes to the revelation of, you know, this ministry, this pulpit, this digital pulpit, and we need to steward it effectively. Micro content does not mean micro revelation. I believe that God wants us to be using these tools, creating micro content, 15 second videos, 30 second videos, 60 second videos, but they need to have depth in them. They need to help people move from this place of spiritual infancy to a place of spiritual maturity. But if we aren't going there ourselves, if we aren't going into the deeper things of God ourselves, it's not going to come out of us. We can't lead people to a place that we've never been. Micro content does not equal micro revelation. We need to go into the deep things of God. This should put a fear of the Lord in us here real quick. This is what it says in James chapter 3, verse 1. It says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. So you as a content creator, you need to get a fear of the Lord when it comes to teaching the word of God online, using your digital pulpit. You will be held accountable for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. That's what Jesus himself said. And what it says right here is there will be a stricter judgment for us who teach the word of God. So this is what we need to do, okay? This is a practical point, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and one who correctly explains the word of truth. We need to be people who study the word of God. We need to sharpen ourselves in the word of God. And I'd also say we need to hold ourselves accountable. Be in a small group. Be around a group of men or women who can hold you accountable to going into the deeper things of God and growing in the revelation of who he is and what his word says. We need it. If we want to be effective in the digital ministry landscape, we need to be people who are filled with deep revelation of who God is, okay? That's the third misconception. Here's the fourth and final misconception that we're going to cover today. Marketing yourself does not equal self-promotion, does not necessarily equal self-promotion, okay? So here we're kind of flipping this on its head. One of the things that I think is easy for us to talk about is like, hey, if you're going into the world of digital ministry, make sure it's not about you, it's not about self-promotion. Great, yes, 100%. Like the Bible says, if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. If you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. We must hold on to that. But what I've seen too is a lot of people who have this spiritual ministry, this digital ministry, and they have the mantle to go online, to preach the gospel, to build the body of Christ, to make disciples through the internet. I've seen a lot of Christians hold back because they're fearful of failure. They're fearful of making it about themselves. And there's a parable that comes to my mind. It's this parable of the steward with the talents. And in this parable, Jesus basically talks about this master who leaves to a faraway land and gives his servants a measure of talents to each of them. And he gives one of them 5 talents, which is like a sum of money. He gives one of them 2 talents, and he gives one of them 1 talent. The Bible says that these talents were given according to the abilities of these servants. So every servant, a servant of Christ, all of us, I said we're not just servants, we're friends, but we are also servants of the Lord. We're bond servants of Christ. He's given us each a measure of talents that we're called to steward and to multiply. And in this parable, the master came back and found that the first 2 servants, the 5-talent one and the 2-talent one, they had created a 100% increase on all of the talents that they were given. They doubled what had been invested into them. And they were found faithful because they had multiplied what the master had given them. They provided a positive ROI, a net positive ROI with what they had been given. But the final servant, he had buried his talent out of fear of failure. He feared failing with stewarding his talent. And the master came back and said, you wicked and lazy servant, what was given to you, I'm now going to give to these other people. I'm going to throw you out of the kingdom. That is a scary thought. Okay. We need to embrace that story and recognize God is depositing things in us that he wants us to steward and he wants us to multiply. And part of that means putting ourselves out there, going out there and using the gifts that God's given us, not being a city on a hill. Like, you know, we got to be a city on a hill. We can't be a light with a lampshade over our head blocking the light that's supposed to be going out in this dark world. We need to be going out there and marketing yourself, quote unquote, is not the same thing as self-promotion. And it's all about a heart posture. What's your heart posture? Ask the Holy Spirit, what's my heart posture? Like, what's my true motivation for going out and doing this? If your motivation is, God, I want to be a good steward of what you've given me. And I also recognize that I might mess up along the way. My motivation might drift away from me. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would protect me so that I can go out there and be effective, but not let the fear of failure keep me from actually doing what you've called me to do. I can guarantee you the Holy Spirit will honor that. The Father will honor that. He honors faith. He honors big, bold faith, putting yourself out there for the glory of God. And he will protect you along the way as long as you don't quench the voice of the Holy Spirit. An example of this is David. He really is a servant of God, but really by being a servant of his family. And it's the story when all of his brothers are going out to fight the Philistines in the front lines of the battle. Where Goliath is like basically kind of putting a holding pattern because everyone's afraid to fight him. But David is called to go out simply to go bring his brothers, like basically some ham and cheese sandwiches. And he goes out there and he sees that nobody is fighting this Goliath guy. And he's like, who does this guy think he is, Goliath, to defy the name of our God? Like, basically, he's putting himself out there and he's like, I'm going to go fight this guy. He has this moment of boldness that puts him out on the front lines to go and take on this giant. And guess what? All of his brothers around him were accusing him of arrogance. They're like, who do you think you are? You can't go defeat this guy, blah, 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 blah. And how many of us as Christian content creators, we hold back because we're afraid of what other people are going to think about us for going out there and putting ourselves out there and preaching the gospel, using our platform for the glory of God. And I believe God's looking at us saying, hey, I know your heart. This, what you see in David, is the fruit of humility. It's not the fruit of arrogance. It looks like arrogance to people who are walking in fear and aren't walking in their own calling, but this is the fruit of humility. Because what is humility truly? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. And in this moment, David's saying, woe is me if I don't step in and take care of this thing. He was not after his own glory. He was after God's glory. You see it in what he says. He's after protecting the Israelites, protecting this promised land, this nation that God has given to his people. And he's saying, I'm not on my watch. I'm not letting this uncircumcised Philistine come and talk smack about our God. And we know how the story ends. David goes into that situation. He slings his rock, kills Goliath, cuts off his head, and then basically that's the beginning of him easing his way into becoming the new king of Israel. So I say all this because you and I, as Christian creative entrepreneurs, we need to put ourselves out there. We, despite the things that I've shared about, like, we got to be concerned about this, and we need to be sober-minded about this, and we got to be careful about this, we cannot let that keep us from going out in the front lines, using the gifts that God's given us. Let me tell you this, you likely will make mistakes. You likely will fail. It doesn't mean that you have to. It doesn't mean that you're destined to. We are destined to be more than conquerors. We're not destined to fail. But along the way, we might make a mess. And I can tell you this, Jesus knew the mess that you and I would make in our digital ministry when he was hanging on that cross. And he said on that cross, it is finished. He paid for your mistakes and my mistakes in full, knowing that we would make them. And he said, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it because I want these people to know that I am for them, that God is for them, and they are not set up for failure. They are set up for success. You are set up for success in your digital ministry, in your social media ministry. But here's something that we need to recognize. Here's the four misconceptions as I wrap it up and to summarize them. We need to make sure that we are aware of these four misconceptions when it comes to social media ministry. Number one, more content consumption does not equal better content creation. Number two, your identity does not equal your following. Number three, micro content does not mean micro revelation. We need to be people who are rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be going into the deep things of God. We cannot take people to a place that we have never been. And then finally, number four, marketing yourself, putting yourself out there does not equal self-promotion. Humility looks like going out there and doing big, bold things for the glory of God, for his glory, remember, not for our own namesake. Be encouraged. You have what it takes. You're called to this. We need more Holy Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, kingdom-minded, creative entrepreneurs to go out into the digital ministry field, the digital mission field, and go bring the light of Jesus. So go do it. Go do it wherever you're called to be. If you're called to do it from home, from your phone, do it and be faithful with it, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are truly few, and we need people to go out and do this work. Let me pray for you before we conclude. Lord, I just thank you for everybody listening to this message, and I pray in the name of Jesus for a mantle of humility, a mantle of reverence, for us to be able to preach from a place of wisdom. We need to have a fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God, would you give us a fear of you as we go out into this digital mission field, but would you also give us boldness to know that you have not set us up for failure, you've set us up for success. An overwhelming victory is yours. Father, I pray for a greater mantle of revelation of your word, a greater humility, a greater fear of you, and opportunity to minister to people across the internet for those who are listening right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening. As always, please leave a kind review. Please share this message with a friend or a colleague or a coworker who needs to be encouraged in their digital mission field work, in their creative entrepreneurship, in their marketplace ministry, wherever they find themselves. Please share this message with them. Please leave a comment on YouTube or like the video. Please leave a review on the podcast platform that you're listening to. And again, if you want more content like this directly to you, please go to capchatfield.com and sign up for the email newsletter. Thanks again for listening to this episode of Directed Life. We'll see you in the next one. Take care.